What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome to the Absolutely Not Podcast, where we do the most and the least at the same damn time. I'm your host, Heather McMahon. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Absolutely Not Podcast. I am your host, Heather McMahon. Ooh, let me get in there. Let me get real deep. I hope everyone is having a fantastic week before Christmas. I know, I'm sure there's a lot of anxiety through the roof of having to get bullshit, materialistic, last-minute gifts for people in your family who are completely ungrateful. But, you know, I hope you're listening to this while you fight off people at the mall for a parking space in front of a Cheesecake Factory next to a Macy's that's been abandoned. And if this is you right now, just let me be your walking meditation. Walk through the mall with a purpose. You know, there's only really three stores you need to go to. Get an Apple gift card, a Nordstrom gift card, and, oh, you got to buy something for grandma. Maybe if you have a soft surrounding or a Talbots, cop one of those gift cards. But either way, I want you to know I'm here for you. I see you. I know this, just much like Thanksgiving, this can be a very wild time. It can also be a time just to really stir the pot with your family. And you know what? I always love drama. I'm kidding. I don't love drama. You know, when you always had that friend though, who's like always fucking started shit. Her name was always Kelsey. And she's like, but I don't like drama. I hate drama. Literally, like, there, I don't like the drama. But every fucking time, I mean, if you told this girl you even started your period, she's going to turn and tell your other four friends. And you're like, Kelsey, I'll tell you not to tell anybody I started my period. And she's like, I didn't. It slipped. Always that bitch. It's always a bitch who's like, I don't like drama. Who's fucking starting the drama? And you're probably going to have to see her at New Year's. Let's just go ahead and say what everyone's thinking. New Year's is overrated. I said it. I know you feel it. New Year's has always been a real touch and go odd time because, you know, we're going to be out of the country. Thank God, because, you know, I'm doing some comedy stuff. But either way, if I, you know, it's a letdown. Always is. You make all these grand plans, dinner reservations everywhere, like it's a $600 prefix. You know, you get shitty service. It's fucking freezing. You try to get to a nightclub by 11:59, the ball drops, and then the surge price in fucking Ubers goes $7,000 through the roof. I'm not trying to be the Grinch who stole New Year's. I'm just letting you know that I have learned in my older age to have a mellow New Year's and to really blow the tits off the roof for other holidays. You know what I mean? 4th of July. Somebody didn't end up in the hospital, wasn't worth it. Flag Day, President's Day. There are other times during the year that you can really light the town on fire. So I just want to encourage you, if you're feeling a little anxious, like you need to have a plan for New Year's, you can also smoke a lot of weed, order a lot of delicious food, make a vision board, and watch Dumb and Dumber for the 15th time. And, or Emily in Paris is coming out. Hello. Love it. I love Emily in Paris. It is vain. It is beautiful. It's cinematic. It's fun. It's hot. It's sexy. Everything about it, I love. I could never be cast on that show because if you notice, there's no there's no non-thin people. But I mean, I guess I could be like Pierre Godot's fat American niece or something, but there, I would love to be on that show. I would just love it. It's like Sex and the City. It's just everything is gorgeous and everyone's beautiful and sexy. And, you know, they're all fucking and it's just you want to be a part of that gangbang, but nobody ever called you to do it. And you know that if you were at that gangbang with like all the hot stars from Emily in Paris, you'd be the one holding the camera, you know, or you'd be the one with the towel just catching bodily fluids in the towel. But no one would actually want to lure you onto the bed, you know, and that is, it's sad, but also humbling and a great reminder to be the you today you want to be tomorrow. And that's on God. Okay. Speaking of an attitude of gratitude going into the holiday season, I want to say first and foremost, thank you so much to everybody who's come out to the show so far. I am having the freaking time of my life. I'm having so much fun. Had two great shows this past weekend, one in Asheville and one in Greensboro. I hadn't been to North Carolina in a hot second, and I just had so much fun. Also, want to just give a quick PSA. If you come to the shows and I'm telling a joke and working on stuff and you happen to know who I'm talking about, I am very clear in the direction of my jokes of like, this is a story about Raymond. This is a story about my mom or Jeff. You don't then have to scream out that person's name for 45 second intervals. You know, like I was getting a lot of Raymond or Robin for like 3.5 minutes. And we're like, we get it. Everybody else in the audience who may, maybe if there's a new person there who doesn't know who I am, will also be queued up through the professionalism of my style of storytelling that they will understand who I'm talking about. Also, if I'm bringing up and maybe, you know, I brought up some stories about exes or like awkward sexual experiences that I've had before with people from college, you don't then, just because you may have like gone to a sorority party, you were a fine mew and I was a DG and you like brushed into me once at college, then I have to scream out the 15 guys that you think I slept with at college. That ruins it for me. Okay, it does. I was doing the show on Saturday and this dumb cunt just kept screaming guys from college that she thinks I think I knew or like random names. She's like, Joe Smith, Justin, you know, Long. I'm like, I don't even, what are you doing? So this is just a quick PSA. I love the new material. I'm having so much fucking fun, but I am very much so ripping the Band-Aid, talking about a lot of sex, talking about the things that I went through, my most embarrassing moments. So for the sake of it, just listen to me. You don't need to come and scream that you knew somebody that I dated in college. That's my story to tell, not yours. Shut the fuck up. Great. Thank you. We're doing great. Anyways, also, with that all being said, I would like to address something. The Meghan and Harry documentary. Now, if you haven't seen it yet, this is a documentary. I'm not giving away spoilers, okay? It's not like I'm telling you the end of White Lotus. However, somebody got upset that I said something on Instagram about it the other day. And I said, listen, bitch, you had a week and a half, almost 2 weeks to watch the ending. Don't tell me that I ruined it for you. You must have been living under a rock in a cave in Peru to not see the 1,000 memes, GIFs, GIFs, and fucking SNL sketches about what has happened on White Lotus. I don't want to hear it. So before you press send on DMs and you say, I haven't seen the ending, you ruined it, I want you to think long and hard about what you have chosen as a citizen of the world to spend and occupy your time for the last week and a half. I don't want to hear it. Hang on, he's busy. Bitch, I've been to 16 different states, been on 25 different flights. I've worked 6 fucking different jobs. I did the podcast. We edited the special. I started the new script for the NBC show. I had 16 different meetings and threw a holiday party for 2 people. So I don't want to hear it. Live, laugh, love, TiVo that shit. Okay? If you have some time on your hands over the break, you know what you should do? Start building that website now. From websites and online stores to marketing tools and analytics, Squarespace is the all-in-one platform to build a beautiful online presence and run your business. This is a time you've been waiting for, that sunny afternoon by the fire, to finally take your career into your own hands and to build that website. Well, this is why I freaking love Squarespace. It is an all-in-one platform where literally anything you could ever think of or imagine that you would need to build a website and have a beautiful online presence, it's all right there. It's such a no-brainer. They make it so easy. Right now, you can head to squarespace.com/absolutely for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code absolutely to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Again, go to squarespace.com/absolutely for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code absolutely to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. I'm telling you, if there's one thing that you can give yourself this season or somebody that you love, it's, you know, entrepreneurship. We're all taking the reins back in 2023 and saying yes to the things that are going to help us be better people. And you know what that is? It's building a beautiful website. Again, all you got to do is go to squarespace.com/absolutely and use offer code absolutely to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Hey, listen, I love you. I mean it. And I've used Squarespace forever and I love them. So of course, I'm going to keep it 100 with you. Again, that's squarespace.com/absolutely. I have always been a big fan of planning ahead, you know, scheduling trips, doing my tour, doing everything in advance, plotting out my next career move, figuring out what I'm doing for dinner while I'm still eating breakfast. You know how that goes. But never thought much about planning for kids until I figured out what I didn't know about fertility. And I've been very transparent about my journey with this and how I didn't realize that the clock was ticking and I needed to get eggs and embryos and start planning that. Because listen, you don't know what you don't know. And I feel like there's so many loopholes and there's just so many holes in the system in women's health in general. But this is why I love Modern Fertility. Modern Fertility is awesome, okay? It was essentially created so you could figure out your hormones with testing at home. It's an easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. Mail it in with a prepaid label and you'll get your personalized results within 6 business days. You'll get insight into your hormone levels, your ovarian reserve, and other important factors that can impact your fertility. The results go deep into what every hormone means, and you can also download the results to review with your doctor for next steps. Here's the thing. Traditional hormone testing can cost over $600, but Modern Fertility tests the same general set of hormones at a fraction of the price. Right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $30 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/absolutely30. This is a limited time offer for $30 off. That means your test will cost $149 instead of at a fertility clinic that could cost 3 times as much. So get $30 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/absolutely30. Again, that's modernfertility.com/absolutely30. Let's get into Harry and Meghan now. So the first 3 episodes of this docuseries are, they're eye-opening for sure. But at no point in the first 3 episodes, I think whoever did their editing should have moved some stuff around to very much so humanize them earlier on in the docuseries. Now, I'm going to just go ahead and say a broader statement. After watching this whole series, I have an absolute newfound respect for both Meghan and Harry. And what was really the most alarming thing that stood out to me was, one, how fucked the British media is and how much the royal family relies on them to keep them relevant, whether it's good or bad publicity. And two, I mean, just how heavy the racial tension and how much like race played into the fact that people really, really, truly threw that back in Meghan's face, that she was a mixed race woman, a black woman. And it is alarming, shocking, appalling, and just plain right disgusting, the shit that and the harassment that she had to deal with and still deals with regarding race. Like, it's archaic. It's truly, I'm embarrassed for Satan and all these uptight white British people. Like, get over it. You know who's one of my favorite musical artists of all time? Stormzy. And he's a fabulous rapper from the UK, okay? So everybody needs to loosen the fuck up across the pond. I don't even know why I needed to bring Stormzy into it, but I love him. I do. Stormzy, if you ever hear this, big fan since day one. So the tension of the racial undertones of the whole show is, it's wild. And you're like, these people are not even trying to fuck around and pretend like they don't like her because she's half black. Like, straight up in the documentary, you're like, damn, just blatant racism. So that was really eye-opening for me to see that. Okay, all that being said, I felt like just Meghan herself, right? She's like really trying to get the story across. And I really definitely felt for Harry. And I can only imagine what they've been through. But what was really alarming to me is essentially what you learn through the documentary is that like every family member in the royal family has a publicist. They have a PR team within the firm. And they will basically sell each other's stories to cover each other's face. Because essentially, you have to stay in good graces with the British media. The British media and tabloids make money off the royal family, right? They're always on the top of the headline. They sell stories, salacious stories, that then make the British tabloids media, that then turn around and keep the royal family in good favor with the public. Because remember, the taxpayers basically bankroll the monarchy. So if tomorrow everybody's like, this is fucking bullshit, why are we paying for this shit? Which plenty of people are against the monarchy. All of that shit could be taken away. Harry even says at one point, he's like, I don't blame my brother for the situation he's in because his inheritance is also on the line. Okay, so old family money, but technically, I mean, could you describe it as like it being like a publicly traded company? You know what I mean? Like they have to quote unquote peel back the curtains and show some tax receipts, but they also throw each other simultaneously under the bus. So at one point, Harry was like, I shared something very private with my dad and William, and my dad kept asking me to put it in writing. And then a day later, it was posted in, you know, one of the British tabloids, verbatim of what I said. And that's how I know that my dad or my brother shared this pertinent information because they kept telling me to put it in writing. I mean, that is fucking shady boots business. In the words of Caroline Manzo, we are family and we are as thick as thieves. You know what I mean? Like, dude, crazy. Also, the shit with Meghan Markle's dad, like he was just straight up getting paid from the tabloids. There's a scene and my heart goes out for her. Listen, everybody has had to deal with, at some point with crazy extended family members and, you know, especially around weddings, everybody just acts like a fucking asshole and tries to make it about them. But there is a photo where I guess her dad lived in Mexico, which is also like, you know, is he an expat in Mexico not paying taxes? Like, what's the vibe? You know what I mean? What's the vibe there? He's down in Mexico and they take photos of him reading a book that just is like Great Britain. It just says Great Britain on the book. And he's sitting in a internet cafe having photos taken of him reading a book, like the book shows that it's just photos of England. You know what I mean? That would be like me sitting at a Starbucks somewhere outside of a mall near a Barnes & Noble, and I just have a book that says Italy, and you just have such an opportunity for a paparazzi to catch me in like a bachelorette sash that just says bride on it, and I'm looking at a book that says Italy, or it's just photos of pizza. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, they weren't even trying to even use a little smoke and mirrors to pretend like they didn't pay this guy. So I really felt for her. And when Meghan started talking about her safety and how Harry was like, we were no longer safe and the death threats, I mean, that shit was fucking crazy. And I really, really empathized with them and sympathized for them. So I have a newfound respect, but I kept saying, I was like, listen, I know Meghan is a very polished girl. Good for her, right? She'd be a great politician. I not so much. The whole time though, I wanted in the first three episodes, which again, I think they should have reorganized some shit a little bit. I wanted to see her let her hair down and just like smoke a cig. You know what I mean? I wanted to see her kick back on a lazy boy and just, let me tell you about the queen. You know what I mean? Or at least just at one point, be running around with her hair in a ponytail, drinking a glass of wine, and running around and just being like, ugh, God, the laundry's crazy. My housekeeper has the flu. You know, just something. And I felt like it was still too buttoned up. And I know you can't judge everybody. This is a very intense 6-part series. But there was a moment I just wanted to shake her and soften her up and be like, Meghan, pour a glass of white wine. Get a margarita. You know, I wanted to see the camera pan to her. And we just have subtitles at the bottom of the screen. And it's her like calling one of her girlfriends and she's out in the garden in Santa Barbara. And she's like, honestly, she's like, can you talk for 5 minutes? Everybody in this house is driving me fucking crazy. Yeah, I'm smoking a cig. I just put Archie down. Yeah, our housekeeper has a flu, but it's fine. Like, whatever. I have enough Lululemon pants to last me a week. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, takes a... Oh, bitch, I don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? It's like, I keep telling Harry, like, I'm not going back. These people are so fucking mean. They are racist as fuck. And I'm not down. And he's not down. And thank God, like, we have a great solid marriage. But oh, wait, Oh yeah, Archie's birthday will be next Friday. I'll send you an invite. Like, I just needed something, like a B-roll footage off camera of her just talking shit in a way that's just like the way we kiki with each other. You know what I mean? I needed a humanizing moment in the first three episodes. So I came out of it being like, I gotta see when the next three drop to see if I can really feel like I connect with our girl. You know, you can always empathize, but she just is very stoic. She's very stoic. And I just wanted to be like, girl, can we sit and have a Mick Ultra? You know what I mean? And just fucking talk about it. Everybody's also up in arms that she calls him H. It didn't bother me. My nickname's H. All of my friends call me H. It is what it is. But Raymond made a good point. He said, Heather, but it's annoying because that's the nickname that everybody else gave Harry. When you met Jeff and everybody calls him Street, like Wall Street, you don't call him Street. I said, no. I call him, get over here, you fucking idiot. You know what I mean? Or whatever. I call him Muffin. That's embarrassing, isn't that? I do. He's my Muffin Man. And he calls me Muffin Lady. And I don't know if it's because our bodies are slowly morphing into, you know, a morning muffin. We are definitely, you know how muffin shaped, thicker up top and then slimmer on the bottom in the cupcake tin. But yeah, he's my Muffin Man. You know, I do call him, hey, asshole, sometimes, right back at you. You know what I mean? But I do think that was a touch alarming of like, okay, you're just calling him the nickname that everybody else calls him. I think you need to come in with your original nickname. And I don't know. We don't really know. But I craved, and this is selfish. This is on me. And, you know, I really stirred some shit by putting this up on Reels. And then these women are like, you don't support women. I'm like, no, bitch. First of all, the last three episodes that really clarified some shit for me hadn't come out yet. This was my initial thing. Also, two, I'm a fucking comedian. Lay off me, bitch. Also, three, it's okay as women for us not to immediately love every woman. Okay, you're allowed as a woman to be critical of another woman. I wasn't even being critical. I was saying, hey, I just want to see behind the curtain a little bit. We're getting these very polished interviews, but I just wanted to see her rollerblading around in the garage. You know what I mean? With a LaCroix in one hand, feeling nostalgic, maybe on an edible. I just needed to feel like she was one of us. Smoking a party cig. I needed one scene for her to go, you know what I'm craving right now? Fucking turkey deli meat. You know what I mean? Our next partner has a product I literally use every day, and I am talking about Athletic Greens because it's freaking delicious. I had it about 20 minutes ago. I take one scoop of delicious Athletic Greens, put it in a little bit of water in a beautiful Williams-Sonoma glass, and I stir it up. I drink it down. It's delicious. It tastes kind of lemony. Effervescent. It's fantastic. And the reason I love it is because that is the right way to start off my day. I was so sick and tired of being on the road. I literally sounded like Santa Claus with jingle jangles on me because it was just loose pills in the bottom of my bag every time. Too many supplements, too many pills. The reason why I love Athletic Greens is because with one delicious scoop, I'm absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help start my day right. And this special blend of ingredients supports my gut health, my nervous system, my immune system, my energy, recovery, focus, aging, all of the things. I really am not bullshitting you guys. I love Athletic Greens. I take it on the road. If I did not have it on the road, I wouldn't be able to do my job. It is such a no-brainer. Athletic Greens is such a great gift. And I feel like it's one of those things where we are always the last people to take care of ourselves and to invest in ourselves. So this is a great gift for Christmas too. Listen, right now it's time to reclaim your health or reclaim the health of the people around you. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/absolutely. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/absolutely to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Also, there wasn't a single scene where we saw them eating. I needed to see a moment where they're sitting around, docuseries style, wolfing down huevos rancheros at a brunch spot where it's a little too loud. You know what I mean? I just needed to see that moment. I needed a mimosa. I know they have a private chef, but even if the private chef is there, I need to, you know what? Can we do homemade pizzas? I'll take a turkey sandwich. That sounds great. I just needed one real moment like that. And maybe that's my own issue, that I need to see people eat in order for me to feel connected to them. You know, I don't know who I should talk to about that, but I was just letting y'all know that's what I need. Okay? My God. It's okay for us to point out that we want to know if she smokes cigs and drinks white wine and bitches to her girlfriends about her husband sometime. You know, the love was strong. But is there a single moment where we just hear, it's like off camera and you just hear, she's screaming in a closet? Because I have a scream closet. My mom had a scream closet growing up. She would go into the pantry, put a pillow over her mouth and just scream every time my sister and I pissed her off. Fair enough. I go into my office and I have this like sauna bag and sometimes I crawl in that, take a little hand embroidered pillow that says tiramisu bitch that a lovely follower made me. And I just crawl in the fetal position sometimes and just, you know, teeth like gnashed into the top of the pillow. And then I come out and I crack open a liquid death water and I just settle myself again. And then I usually order a pub sub or, you know, a salad from Chopped or something. I needed to see the blood sugar regulation, I think. Anyways, also side note, what I really wanted out of this whole thing, and then I'll get off of it. I wanted to see her, whether or not she wanted to light a cig, whatever, have a martini. Maybe she doesn't drink. Have a cup of tea. I wanted to sit, watch her sit back, have a cup of tea and go, you know what? You want to know what this is really about? They're trying to cover up for fucking pervy creepo Prince Andrew. I wanted her to spill the tea on that fucker. And if you don't know what that's about, he's been caught multiple fucking times on Epstein Island with underage girls and had like many lawsuits against him from former victims. And they just brushed that under the rug. So I'm on her team. But I'm like, when are we going to find out about what the Queen's going to do with Prince Andrew? Because we're all acting like nothing happened. Where's the whistle blowing on that shit? Okay? Dead ass serious, though. For real. Anyways, I highly recommend you watch it. It's really eye-opening. It's really interesting. And it's so, it does make you also think. You're like, why the fuck is there still, you know, a monarchy? Like, what are we doing here? You know? And it's not like America's got their shit together, but we absolutely do not. All right. We do not. And my buddy, Jared Hughes, who loves everything British and royal family more than anything, we got in a fight on the phone. He was like, I don't agree with you. And I'm like, I feel bad for everybody. And he was like, the Queen is amazing. The Crown is my favorite show. And maybe I just can't connect any of it because The Crown was never my show. You know, maybe the Kardashians are my royal family. I don't know. I'm conflicted about a lot of things. But I know at the end of the day, if that documentary company was to follow me around, they would see me outside the garage the way my father used to do with a cigarette on the phone with Annie Benanny or Mary Beth or Katie or Raymond or Tina. And I'm like, let me tell you what. Let me tell you this right now. I swear to God, Jeff farted so bad in bed last night. I rolled him over to check his drawers. I mean, I can't do this anymore. You know what I mean? That's a real, real behind the scenes. You know, like just, and I love my husband. I love you, Jeff. He listens to all of my episodes religiously. And I think it's the sweetest thing ever. He's like, why you don't be buying my farting? Well, everybody does. Maybe if Meghan Markle would have ripped one on air, I would have gone, yeah, I get it. Yeah, they did. They did kill Princess Diana for sure. You know, just getting in and out of the car. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. This is such a dumb, stupid, embarrassing episode, but I just needed something. I needed like a rogue, something hanging out of the nose or just, you know, a food in the teeth at one point where Harry sticks his own finger. He's like, babe, you got something. She's like, just get it. Just get it. You know? And he takes like a fingernail and just, and he's like, really? And she's like, yeah, just get it. Cause that's what I do with Jeff. You know, I'm like, Jeff, there's something in your teeth. Can I get it? And he's like, can you wash your hands first? I'm like, absolutely not. Open up and let me take one of these acrylic nails and just dig into the back of your gums. That's marriage. Okay. Okay. But anyways, I highly encourage you to watch it. Oh, also while you're on vacation right now, or maybe you're working through the holidays and I really feel for you there because I will also be working through the holidays abroad. I've got to finish a script. Anyways, A new show on Paramount Plus is called The Offer, and it's about the making of The Godfather. Anyways, Miles Teller stars in it, and Juno Temple from Ted Lasso. It's fucking incredible. It's just great. If you love anything about old Hollywood, it's a really great show, and it's phenomenal, and it's about mobsters, and it's very cool. So, anyways, I digress. Let's get into the voicemails. And I know I'm going to get a lot of heat and a lot of flack for my opinion on the fucking documentary. But again, remember, everything is satirical. But also, it's not. We're all allowed to have a seat at the red table and have a thought and an opinion. And Diana was my girl. And you guys all know that I went up to Helen, Georgia, and I spent $250 at a fudge shop in the middle of nowhere, mountains, Georgia, so that I could then get a ticket to go into the back of the fudge shop to buy the Princess Diana Beanie Baby that I then spent $50 of my babysitting money on for the fucking Princess Diana Bear. So you cannot say that I was not dedicated to the people's princess. And if Megan called me tomorrow and she said, let's do a sit down and kiki, you bring the menthols, bitch, I'm there. And I'm glad they're here. And Harry, he's aging well. Okay, let's get into the voicemails. As always, you can call in 800-213-7503. In the meantime, between time, I want to hear what you've been up to. And if you're a first-time listener to the podcast, you can call into the hotline, give us absolutely nuts, absolutely yeses, anything that you want to discuss. But remember, be the you today you want to be tomorrow. Okay, let's get into it.
Heather, it's your girl Clara from Atlanta. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. Absolutely not. I am seeing individuals on social media using Elf on the Shelf and going through all this trouble and do not have children. They are doing it for their adult spouse. That's it. Let me know your thoughts. Love and light.
Okay, this is a classic unhinged voicemail of absolutely not. This is insane. What do you mean we're doing Elf on the Shelf for adults? You know, we already didn't think the Disney adults were enough or the worst. Now we have Elf on a Shelf for adults doing what? Unless the elf is holding a pack of condoms and a gift certificate to Outback Steakhouse, what are we doing though? And you know what? Why can't we just let kids enjoy kid stuff and adults be adults? I saw this really cute thing where this principal, I think I saw it on Instagram, she dresses up for her elementary school kids as a real life elf on a shelf. And every morning they come into the hall and she's in like a different spot. And it's really funny. And it's very elaborate. Brilliant. Great. They're elementary kids. That's a beautiful thing. There is no reason why your grown ass husband named Kenneth needs an elf. Enough. We're done. And I'm not trying to spoil Christmas joy, you know, for the believers. But it's another fucking thing to have to do during the holidays as an adult. We're all just trying to clock in and clock out of work without losing our shit doing customer service on ungrateful little bitches who come in to the Ann Taylor loft. What do you mean elf on the shelf for adults, dude? This is how it starts. And then the next thing you know, you're dressing up as a raccoon and you're fucking each other as furries. No. Enough. I can't. I really, truly can't. How did we get here? Enough. It's like, this is why we can't have nice things. This is why we can't have nice things. I've said this for a while. We can't have nice things because then you got some guy named Kenneth and his wife, Darla, and they just make it weird and they ruin it. I saw this thing on TikTok. There's, you know, these people that identify as the wolves and they're a wolf pack. And this guy has been very angry. He's trying to explain his like seven different girlfriends and where they all stand in the wolf pack and how he's the alpha male and everybody else is a beta. And I'm just going, what happened? What happened to the spirit of Christmas where adults just acting like civilized humans? You know, and listen, like I've said, diversify the portfolio. Be the you that you want to be. I'm not saying don't be you. But the moment we start elfing on the shelf as a 38-year-old Sagittarius man, next thing you know, we're fucking like dressed up as a raccoon. And I didn't fully understand the furry thing, but it's, you know. And how do you do that? You know, that's an interesting concept, because if you put on, like, it's like a mascot helmet and you're doing the deed, that's got to be hot as hell. You know, I feel like mascots are already discombobulated. Remember, if you were like a bobcat, we were the Spartans at my high school. But if you were like a bobcat and you had to wear that giant head, you're already a little dizzy. You're already a little, like, can't really see out of the eye holes. And what did they have, a little flap? Maybe there's like a little crotch flap where they rip it down and, you know, bang like ferrets. I don't know. But it's, again, why can't we just leave it? Why can't it just be what it is? Now, I wouldn't mind an elf on a shelf if all it is a monetary thing. Nothing creepy about it. You know what I mean? That's kind of fun. If it's just you wake up every day, got to go find the elf, and it's got a $200 in its hands. Funny. Great. You know, maybe it goes up in increments. Maybe first day, $50, $100, $200, $400. Last, $1,000 gift card to Outback. Maybe. That's fun. Stays in one place, though. Or maybe it does, but the elf on the shelf for whatever these adults are doing, I feel like, is not in the spirit of, you know, your Christmas bonus. It's in the spirit of, we've got something weird and kinky happening, and I'm not about it, and I won't stand for it. And if you hear that your neighbors are doing it, you look at Pam and Rick in the face, and you say, enough. I'm calling the authorities. Let's get to the next voicemail.
Hey, Heather. I'm going to remain anonymous because I'm going to be airing out a family member's dirty laundry. But my sister and her fiance are going to be getting married in a few months, and she got her invitation proofs and sent them to our mom and her future mother-in-law. And on the invitation, there's a little spot that says, if you're not feeling well, we'll miss you, but, you know, please don't come if you're sick, you know, for the safety of our guests or whatever. My mom's still riding the COVID train, but my sister's future mother-in-law totally freaked out. She says, you know, COVID was never a thing. It was all made up, and she's embarrassed. She would never ask her guests to stay home from the wedding if they're sick. And an actual quote was, she would expect her son to carry her from her deathbed to his wedding if that was the case. So a lot of family drama going on, and my sister decided to remove it from the invitation, and future mother-in-law still refuses to accept that as an apology. She's so deeply offended that my sister would ever consider having this on the invitation. So they're seriously considering calling off the wedding. So absolutely not to, first of all, anybody making my sister go through this. And second, absolutely not to insane in-laws. Anyway, love you, mean it. Bye.
This is the most asinine, absolutely not I've ever heard. First of all, this mother-in-law is making it about herself. I'm furious. I'm not even getting good circulation to my toes right now because they're in a pair of Uggs that I grew out of probably 8 years ago. But my toes are curling with anger and annoyance. This is exactly what I've tried to explain to everybody. Everybody tries to make your wedding or your sister's wedding about them. Everyone around me caused a hissy fit, a shit show, stirred the pot, had a problem. The day of my wedding, fucking Raymond was trying to get his hair dyed blonde, okay? He was trying to steal my glam squad for an update on the blonde hair color. I was going to kill everybody. So this is a classic example. You know, everyone says like, oh, you're bridezilla. I wasn't. I realized I bent over and let people walk the fuck all over me. You know what I mean? I mean, no, it's actually on the day of your wedding, everybody makes it about them. And it's really wild. And I know I'm a people pleaser, and I've had to really learn how to stick up for myself. But this is asinine. You know what? Tell your sister, first of all, we're not going to call off the wedding. That's the dumbest thing. If your sister is saying she wants to call off the wedding, then there's something else lingering there. Now, our in-laws heart, you bet your ass. They sure are. Okay? And there's probably, this might be the only thing that they fight about. Okay. But you know what? Your sister needs to ignore it. She's not, do not fucking apologize. You have done nothing wrong, sis. You do not apologize. You say, we took it off. We're done here. And then if the mom's going to cause a fucking scene, either you show up, mother-in-law, or you don't. Because guess what? It ain't about you, toots. It's about me and your son. It's about me and your son. Whom I sex up. Whom I let come inside of me. Okay? So That's what she's really upset about. She wants to skin him and wear him. But you know what? That's your job. God. Also, it's like, enough. That, you know, I looked at Ray the other day and we were laughing about something. I said, why is everyone so bothered right now? So bothered. And I know you could say, well, Heather, you seem very bothered about everybody else's shit. No, but I mean, why is everyone so offended right now? I'm not talking about like cancel culture or any of that shit. Why is everybody so bothered and uptight about everybody's bullshit when you need to look in the mirror and deal with your own bullshit? Why is this mother-in-law giving a fuck? Okay, great. That, I don't know why I would offend you. This is the other thing. When the groom side of the family, who is literally not given a dime or paid for fucking shit, has anything to say about anything, I go, you want to know what? In the words of Jerry Maguire, show me the money. Actually, that was Cuba's character. What was it? The name of his character? I can't remember it. Show me the money. No, wait, Jerry Maguire also said that. Anyways, I think they went back and forth in that scene. Show me the money. Okay. You want canapes? And a fudge fountain, which I also would probably sign off on. So that's cool. But you want a raw bar? I would also have a raw bar. I would sign off on that. So that's something that we would agree on. You want a, maybe the father-in-law loves scotch. You want just a specifically a certain scotch at the wedding? Show me the money. You want to pay to reprint the invitations that say, hey, if you've got RSV and the flu, please don't come to the ceremony. Show me the money. Also, it's your day. It's your sister's day. Ignore it. This woman's going to be a problem the rest of your life. It's not worth ending your marriage over. It's really not. Because I'm going to tell you, if I just left the voicemail, the hotline open for hard mother-in-laws, that would just become the show. There are so many voicemails that I get that I don't air because I'm like, listen, you called in crying while you were hammer drunk after a Mother's Day where your mother-in-law said it's not, I'm the real mother. You know, shit like that, I get all the fucking time. And I try and be very sensitive about it, but that's, it is what it is. These hoes be crazy. And this woman sounds insane. And she is going to get offended at everything your sister does for the rest of her life. Your sister orders a Chinese chicken salad at a Cheesecake Factory at 2 o'clock on a Thursday. She's going to be offended. You know what I mean? Your sister likes lemon Christmas cookies from the deli two streets over. She's going to be offended. Your sister and her husband decide to go to Hawaii for 3 days in October just to get away. She's going to be upset and bothered. Don't call off the wedding. The husband needs to stand up to his mother and go, this is crazy. We would rather not get the flu. I think that's a common courtesy also, and also an excuse for other people. Everybody could lie. You know what? If you don't want to go to the wedding, say you have COVID. Great. There you go. Now you don't have to go to the wedding. I would. So dramatic. I would literally be carried off my deathbed. Well, then great. Then great. Let's cross that bridge when we get there. But right now we're just asking, hey, if you have a temp of 102, sit this one out. You know what I mean? Sit this one out. I don't know if you know this. Everybody has everything. My shows this weekend, literally we had, you know, you sell these tickets. There's like not people who got refunds on tickets, just didn't show up because they got the flu, the RSV, the strep, the doo-doos, the migraines, the COVID for the 15th time. I've had COVID 4 times. Knock on wood. I really have. I've had COVID 4 times. like positive, sick, stayed home, COVID 4 times. And now I'm like, I'm vaxxed, I'm boosted. And I've even thought about an IUD. I don't have one, thought about it. And that's how much I've gotten COVID. You know, do you know what, how badly I want an excuse? Me, I can't make it. Lungs are full. You know, not really, obviously, but I would. Oh yeah. Do you know how many times I've just told people I have diarrhea? I can't come to your party. Just flat out said it. Yeah. No, I don't want to poop my pants at your party. I got to sit this one out. And they're like, we're also adults in our 30s who have touch and go IBS. I also would like you not to come to the party. We only have one bathroom in this small Upper West Side apartment. And we're going to try and shove 55 people who all also have the flu and IBS into the same apartment so that we can drink cheap wine and then have the superintendent bang on the door 6 times to turn the music down. Yeah, been there. I'm going to sit that one out. Also, although I really do miss those parties, I miss them. I miss in New York when you would literally have 15 of your like dumbest friends and you all shove each other in and then everybody brings a plus one. And you're like, we're going to go to the bar. Guys, we're going to the bar. 15 minutes, we're going to the bar. And then like 3 hours later, guys, it's 1 a.m. Everybody, chug your drink. We're going to the bar. You know what I mean? And then flash forward 45 minutes later and everyone's really high or like somebody's crying and I'm leaning out a window smoking a cig or whatever. And I'm just like, but like he hasn't called me back. I thought this was the one. And they're like, but you haven't met him yet, Heather.
I saw him on the subway. He looked at me. I looked at him. He had a cane. He could have been blind. I don't know, but I felt something. And he hasn't found my Craigslist post.
Oh, God. Do you remember Miss Connections on Craigslist? Dude, funniest shit ever. You know, and it was always so poetic, like a haiku. I was walking through Bryant Park near the Apple Store, and I saw a woman with a red scarf. She smelled like I almost said bed bugs. Yeah, she smelled like bed bugs. Bed Bath & Beyond. Not Bed Bath & Beyond. Bath & Body Works. Wow. Tongue twister. She smelled like sun-ripened raspberry from Bath & Body Works circa 2003. And I knew in that moment that was the one for me. She had crumbles on her shirt from a Levain cookie. She didn't need the cookie. Definitely looked like she could lose a few, but that was my girl. And then I'd get on Craigslist. I'm like, that was me. Somebody saw me woofing down a cookie in front of the Apple Store at Bryant Park, and I think I had a red sweater on. A red scarf, that was me. I love sun-ripened raspberry from Bath & Body Works. It was never me. I would get on Miss Connections on Craigslist because I'm a Pisces and such a hopeless romantic, and I would just think, that's me. They're like, Miss Connection, I was on the F train heading to Bushwick. This beautiful, petite Filipino woman, age 54, blue sweater, leg cast. You know, and wearing a bike helmet. And I'm like, that's me. They got that wrong. I don't own a bike. I haven't broken a limb recently. I am not small and I'm definitely not, you know, of the Filipino descent. So, but I would fantasize in my mind. They were actually talking about me. Oh, that was the best though. The holiday parties and you're so cold. And then you get to your friend's house and you pack so many people in that you got to open the windows because you're fucking sweating and you're all in like cheap Forever 21 polyester sweaters. You know what I mean? I'd be in some like tight dress and some Spanx tights. And then 15 minutes into the party, like, can I take off my boots? I'm taking off my boots. My feet are killing me. And you'd take off the boots and you would just fucking kiki and you would have like really shitty appetizers and somebody would make a 7-layer dip and there was nothing fucking better. And you drink cheap champagne and then move on to like Sky Vodka or Svedka. And mix it with Fresca or maybe a Crystal Light packet. And there is truly nothing more nostalgic. It was either a BCBG dress with Steve Madden boots. Oh my God. Nothing better. You know what? I know I've really gone off topic, but why don't you go ahead and call your mother-in-law and tell her. Just go ahead and tell the mother-in-law, don't come. We're done here. You know, really just say enough. I will say this. Do not play into this woman's antics. She wants the attention. No. Tell your sister, eyes on the prize. Enjoy the wedding. This woman's going to be a pain in the ass. Literally, if she speaks at you, turn the other way and just be like, I'm so sorry. And then tell her that you were recently near a pit bull and the pit bull barked too hard in your right ear and you've actually lost a little bit of hearing. And if she looks at you, just go, pit bull, and walk off. And she won't know what you're talking about. And then just start a rumor that you've become a little hard of hearing. Literally, that's what I would do. That's how dumb and petty I would fucking play this. But really, you got to lean in. You got to pretend like you have actually had a sense of hearing loss. You know what I mean? And come up with the story. You don't have to explain. Just be like, my friend's dog, it was right by my ear. It could have been really bad. And then, you know, because when animals are involved, people don't want to press because they're like, did the animal get put down? You know, nobody wants to ask the hard questions. So you just say, and I'm not trying to pin pit bulls in a bad light. You could say German Shepherd. Just say it was a German Shepherd. I can't really talk about it legally. walk away, but be like, I'm so sorry, I can't hear you. And I'm not, I haven't been trained yet to read lips. So gotta go. That's what I would do. And if anybody needs any sort of excuse this holiday season just to get out of anything, say COVID and German Shepherd and you're good. Let's get to the next voicemail.
Hey, Heather, it's your girl, Nicole from Mississippi. I just want to say, I am just leaving my parents' house and I have an absolutely not for you. My precious mother, who is about to retire from the school board after almost 30 years, has somehow gotten completely brainwashed by crazy right-wing conspiracy theory bullshit by my dad. And nothing like going for a visit at your mom's on a nice Sunday afternoon and finding out that she has $250 worth of MREs in her Amazon cart that she's thinking about purchasing, and that she believes Michael Jackson and a bunch of other elite people are still alive on an island somewhere. So it looks like I'm just going to have to buckle the fuck up and get ready for this week, because Christmas is just going to be a doozy in our family. I love my mom, and it's just really hard for me to see eye to eye. So absolutely not to feeling like you're losing out on family members because you took the COVID vaccination and you don't believe that John F. Kennedy is still alive somewhere on a goddamn island. Love you. Can't wait to see you at your Austin show. Talk at you later, Heather.
Hey, sister friend. Okay. I'm glad we're bringing this up because, you know, I go through like the levels with the conspiracy theories where one minute I'm like, yeah, this shit's probably true. I don't know how to tell you this, but this shit is 100% accurate. And then I'm like, but wait a minute. If JFK and Michael Jackson, all these guys are still alive, you know what I mean? Because with the QAnon thing, it was like, well, on Tuesday, all the TVs are going to black out and then they're going to come on the screen like The Purge and John F. Kennedy Jr. is going to be like, Trump is alive, you know, or whatever. And it never happened. So I would kind of watch them like, you know, to be tickled and giggle. But then also like, I mean, what's happening on Tuesday at 10? You know what I'm saying? Like, if, I mean, you know, I kind of like one toe in being like, I mean, I kind of feel like if, the, you know, I'm going to sit by the computer. Yeah, I might sit by the TV and the computer and just like see what happens. Like, I don't think it's going to. But if it did, I'd be like, I was in the whole time. But I hear you. This is what's really crazy is the clickbait and all the stuff that is being fed to our boomers on Facebook is, it's wild. I also, can I suggest something? Plan a trip next year to whether, if you can handle it and if you can afford it and if, you know, it doesn't have to be expensive, but plan a trip if you can with your parents to get out and see something new. Sometimes I think with our boomers, you know, whether they're retired or they're just kind of staying in their routine and their habit. Listen, it's one thing to get prepped. All right. Everybody should have some jugs of water and some flashlights and light bulbs and a fucking warming blanket and some cans of food. I mean, look at what, you never know what the fuck's going to happen. So don't be a fucking idiot. You should be prepared. Like a Boy Scout, always be prepared. And you have those things to be prepared so you don't have to be prepared. Now, I've already said if the real QAnon apocalypse thing pops off, I'm trying to go right to the light with the Lord. I'm not trying to sit around and eat beef stroganoff MREs and shit in the woods. That's not my journey. You know, and so when people are prepping and they're doing the bunkers, I want to be, bam, first one out. I'm not trying to sit around and fight with my mother over a stale, you know, Hawaiian roll that came out of a bag that'll crack your teeth. I want to be right with the Lord. I want to be sitting at a Waffle House in heaven with my dad, and we're looking down going, you know what? Good thing I live near a nuclear plant. Like, I want to, bye-bye. But is it also smart to, you know, be prepared on certain things? Yes, you should have water in your car. You should have a little emergency kit, a little first aid kit in your car. You never know. You're in an accident. You need a little something, like have a blanket. You get stuck on the road. All this shit. You should just, there's daily safety protocols you should take. Let's not be stupid. But, you know, when mom and dad, I've noticed this, and I've had conversations with a lot of our friends, and my mom is not a conspiracy theorist, but it's interesting too how she just gets tied down with like the day-to-day bullshit, the minutia of the neighborhood. Like I'll sometimes come home from the road and my mom's talking kind of like in circles about dumb shit at the club or whatever. And I'm like, okay, her point of view and perspective needs to be refreshed, right? And then I take her on a trip with me, or I get her out, or we go somewhere and she's in the airport, she's zipping around, she's in a new city. She can't always, doesn't always feel like super confident, like navigating Uber and stuff like that, which is fine. But I'm always like, whenever I get my mom out on the road, I'm like, oh, she's like fucking cooking with gas, zip, zap, zomping around, doing the zingers. Like even Ray's like, when your mom is out on the road with you, whether we're touring or I take her to New York for the weekend, it's like a fresh perspective, whole new world. I think there's something with our parents now that you get tied down in your own bullshit. It doesn't even have to be your parents. It could be, you know, your sister who's got four kids who doesn't get out as much as she should. Maybe you spoil her for a day and you go, let's go to the spa and maybe go to a museum and just get a fresh perspective. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying this in a judgmental sense. I'm saying sometimes we gotta get a fresh set of eyes. I travel enough on the road now. I'm in 3 new cities a weekend for me to have a new point of view and fresh perspective every time I come home. It's also why I like coming home, because then I'm grateful, remember, attitude of gratitude for the things that I have and where I'm from. And not saying that my city's better. I'm saying, you know what I mean? But when you go out into the world, you then start to appreciate A, what you have, or B, you learn that I need to make a change. So I think this is it. Okay. And also, babe, you're down in Mississippi. You know, you and I both know. You know, they got sent an article from somebody at church who thinks that Michael Jackson's in a bunker somewhere. I don't know how to tell him this. Listen, before conspiracy theories were tied to Donald Trump, okay, I'm going to tell you this right now. I used to love them. I used to think they were funnier than shit and kind of was like, all right. But then it became this thing with Donald Trump and I didn't understand that and that he was the savior. The guy just put up a thing this past weekend. He's selling NFTs. I don't know how to tell him. Crypto is not doing so hot. And it's like cartoonish at this point, right? Guys, can I tell you honestly? I had somebody call in one time. I was like, you're too left. I'm not listening to this podcast anymore. And I didn't even air it because I was like, this is so fucking stupid. You know, I'm a sensible, logical bitch. Okay. But we're going to have a very transparent conversation. My thing is the next person who runs for anything, I want them to have served in the military, to have gone abroad. If you didn't study abroad, I don't care. I don't want any of this politico fanfare bullshit. I want somebody who's like, I did 2 tours in Iraq, I speak 3 languages, and I know how to fix a fucking toilet. Great, because that's what the country's turning into, a toilet. That's what I want. I'd like to see a strong power lesbian in the White House. A woman named Terry, 2 R's, 1 I, who shows up in a Subaru, ready to redecorate. That's what I'd like. But I keep telling you, hoes, if y'all keep posting crazy shit on Facebook, we're never going to get there. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to lock it up. And ladies, specifically the ladies who follow me and listen to me, we got to get out. I want you to, even if it's 9 months down the road, if you feel like you're getting a little too stir crazy and you're starting to watch too many things in the TikToks and you're losing your fucking mind, plan a trip. Call your girlfriend across the country. She's in Oregon. You're in Florida. You're going to meet in Utah and you're going to go explore something. Go to a museum, maybe see a concert, hit the symphony, try a new cuisine. We just got to have a fresh perspective. We don't have to even get out of the country because I'm sure on one side, somebody doesn't have an updated passport. You know, that shit takes forever, but we got to get out. So maybe as frustrated as you might be, what if we go in and we say, listen, mom and dad, maybe, you know, listen. Next year for the holiday, or let's do Christmas in July. Can we plan a trip where we go and experience something together? And then if you're also like, these people are too far gone and you're just like hanging out and trying to be nice to them, so you're still on the will, but you just know like we're done, then just let that be. But I think we got to get, everybody's got to start moving and grooving and dancing to the music and go to New Mexico and get a piece of aquamarine and turquoise and do it and go see a different culture. You know what I mean? We got to branch out. If not, You can then get sucked into the YouTubes all day. And the next thing you know, you're scratching the back of your neck, wearing tin foil on your fucking head, yelling at your husband, Carl, to put saran wrap over the faucets. Cause you know, the big freeze is coming. Like it can make you crazy. Also too, the one thing that I do totally believe, I fully believe that like China and Russia meddled in our elections and meddled in everything. And especially we're like very pro Trump. They want the country to be as fucking polar opposite, black and white, you know, as it can be. Cause if we came together as a nation, that's how we stay strong. But we're not. We've become hateful. We've become divisive. There's no gray area anymore. There's no just like, I'm going down the middle and I enjoy live, laugh, loving. And I think everybody should have equal rights. And you know what? But you should also support small business. I don't know what happened to that, but it's not there. It's either like you got your uncle on one side who's like, I hate homosexuals. And then you've got your cousin who, you know, has requested a litter box at their middle school. And you're like, what? Like, I don't know how we got there, but we got to come together and just fucking go to an Outback Steakhouse. Really and truly, this entire podcast episode has been about how I would like to be sponsored by Outback. The actual sponsor of my tour is Outback Presents, which is an incredible touring promoting company. But I also, people oftentimes are like, why are all your shows say Outback Presents? It's not Outback Steakhouse. But if Outback Steakhouse also did want to maybe become a sponsor of the podcast, I would not say no to a Bloomin' Onion. So listen, all of this being said, we're all going to experience something through the holiday where you're not going to get along with somebody. I talked about this on the Thanksgiving episode. Take a deep breath. And maybe we all need to get a fresh perspective. I would like to see everybody invite their moms to the Crystal Convention that goes on in Tucson, Arizona, okay? Maybe mom needs a new piece of amber or needs a new piece of tourmaline. You know, I'm not even a crystals girly. I don't put any power in that because I put my power in the light of the Lord. But you know what? It's a nice little thing to sit and look pretty as a piece of art in the window. You can also buy that just as a nice piece of art. Doesn't have to be possessed by the devil. You know what I mean? Let's think of something. We got to think outside the box of how we can have a shared human experience with the people who we don't agree with somewhere in a safe space. And I know that is asking a fucking lot. Now that I said that, now that those words came out of my mouth, just book a cruise for yourself. Just do it. Just book a cruise for yourself and don't go home for Christmas. And that's what friends are for. Fantastic. Let's get to one last voicemail.
Heather, we just saw you in Greensboro. It's Emma and Taylor.
Hey, girl.
And we are friends through a mutual friend for about 10 years. And the first time that we ever met each other was at your show in Greensboro.
Yes.
Last night. Baby, let's go. It was amazing. Raymond killed it. Andrew killed it. You killed it. Incredible shit. We love you. This is an absolutely yes. Love and light. XOXO Gossip Girl.
Emma and Taylor, what an absolute yes to end this episode on. That's a beautiful thing. I love that. You guys have been actual XOXO Gossip Girls. You know, friends probably on the interwebs or a mutual friend for years, and you finally got to link up. And girlies, I just got to tell you, you said you saw my show last night and you're in the car together today, so I feel like you probably hooked up. And if you did, love is love, and we're very supportive here. And I love that. And if I can bring two women together to scissor, you bet your ass I'm doing my job. Bring in the giggles and the queefs. And that's so important for the holidays. But all jokes aside, truly, I am so grateful to everybody who comes out. And can I tell you, honestly, the biggest, most flattering compliment to me is when y'all say, like, I met so many new friends and there were so many cool girls on my aisle. Or like, my husband came and we ran into some other people that we knew and then we were all partying together. Like, you know, my love language is time and spending time with people. And when you guys spend time together, and then I know you met at my show and then you're spending time together outside of it, it brings me so much joy. You have no idea. Like my favorite thing, I've told y'all this before, my favorite thing in the whole world, I get so excited. I'm so excited that I'm like curling my knuckles is when I, cause I love to host a party. Cause I like all of my friends to meet my other friends. I said this about my wedding. The biggest compliment was leaving the wedding was people saying, I loved your friends. Oh my God, your friends from LA, your friends from New York, your college friends, like everybody was buddies afterwards. That is the biggest compliment. Because A, that lets me know I picked good people to be around me. And B, that's like, oh, everybody's having fun. Yes. You know what I mean? So to know that you girls met up and now you're buds and now, you know, possibly hooked up future wives and lovers really brings me that extra Hershey kiss that I needed in the stocking stuffer of emotion and life. And I'm going to go sit by my fire, my gas log fire tonight. And I am going to put a couple things in my cart. I'm going to tinker on my computer, put a couple things in my cart for myself, sensible, nothing that doesn't have a 50% off coupon, you know, and I'm going to just think, I'm going to have a sweet grin on my face. I'm going to drink maybe a glass of wine or some sleepy time tea. I'm going to look at Riggs snoring next to me and go, you know what, bud? Through all the ups and downs that we've been through this year, emotionally, physically, internationally, we did it. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. It's about doing it, not for yourself, but for other people. And when you truly find your calling, whatever it is, whether your calling is joy, whether your calling is mathematics, whether it's caretaking, whether it's using your intelligence to help people get out of DUIs, whatever that is, once you live in that purpose and you follow that purpose, there will be no other thing in the entire world that can fill you up with more happiness than living in your purpose. And I don't say that to sound daunting. If you're like, Heather, I'm driving around Costco. The Costco parking lot, what is my purpose? I'm not saying that. Maybe you're a great organizer. Maybe you're good at crafting. Maybe you're really good at, I don't know, predicting the future. Grab a crystal ball and start charging $20 on the corner and tell people the truth. Whatever that is to you, you'll figure it out. But I know that I get a lot of joy out of bringing joy and, more importantly, bringing people together. And that's why this podcast means so much to me, that you guys call in and that you feel that this is a place you can vent and bitch and we can giggle and fucking get through it. You know, the 23rd will be the 7 years since I lost my dad. And I am not even trying to cheeseball hard and I'm not going to get emotional, but I want you to know, if I didn't have this podcast and I didn't have you girls and gays and guys and didn't have everybody who keeps me on track, it keeps me humble, I don't know what I would do. So I want you to know from the bottom of my heart, this voicemail brought me so much joy. And maybe this holiday season, if your family's driving you nuts, reach out to a friend you haven't talked to in a while, or maybe that person you've been DMing with for a while on Instagram and you're like, you know what? Let's meet. Let's meet in a well-lit parking lot by a very busy store and have a cup of coffee, because this might just be the misconnection that you need. Wow. XOXO, Gossip Girl. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have a wonderful, beautiful Christmas. I will be back next week. Please call in to the hotline, 800-213-7503. I need to hear all about your holiday, what worked, what didn't, what did Santa bring you? I am here for you. Again, call in 800-213-7503. And remember, look to the stars so you don't miss the connection. Love you, mean it. Arrivederci. Ciao, Bella. I'll see you next time. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us, and leave a review. And as always, follow me on Instagram at Heather K. McMahon. See you guys soon.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.